Bibles this morning. You ready for the Word? Yes. I'd like you to go to Matthew chapter 8. And we're going to begin there. We're beginning a new series also this morning. And we've been talking about honoring authority. We've been focusing on the honor part. Now we're getting into the authority part. And I'm simply entitling this, Authority to Act on Heaven's Behalf. Amen? How many know that we have authority to act on heaven's behalf? Because every one of us are called. Every one of us are chosen by God. And He's given us an assignment, something to do on this earth. And your greatest joy will come when you do God's will for your life. Amen? And because He knows best where you fit and how your gifts will work. So let's go to Matthew chapter 8. When He came down, and we're going to start with verse 1. When He came down from the mountain, great multitudes followed Him. How many know when you're on the mountain with God, people will find you attractive? Amen? And behold, I want to go down to verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto Him a centurion, beseeching Him, and saying, Lord, my servant lies at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And I want you to notice Jesus' response. Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man, this is the verse that I want you to get right here, verse 9. You can mark it, underline it, whatever you need to do. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, come. I say to this man, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go your way, as you have believed, so be it done to you. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. What made this centurion's faith so great that Jesus marveled? It was really his understanding of authority. This centurion, he's a soldier. And as a centurion, he has at least 100 soldiers underneath him. Okay? He is in a position to command. And it was this Roman centurion's understanding of authority and his respect for the authority that Jesus had. He recognized that whatever Jesus said, things happened. Amen? He understood the ability of giving a command. He said, if I tell my servant go, he goes. If I tell another one come, he comes. He understood that when a command is issued under authority, then things will happen. So when we understand authority, it's the key to having great faith. Amen? And you know, all authority comes from God. He is the highest and supreme authority. God is the creator and judge of His universe. And He has the right to establish the moral framework in which creation sets. How many know that if God created it, He gets to set the standards? Right? Just like if you create something, you get to set the standards for how that thing is viewed or understood or anything like that. And you know, God's works issue from his throne. How many know that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God? There is a throne in heaven. Amen? And that throne represents authority. And God has the authority to speak. And when he speaks, because he's the supreme authority, everything he says will come to pass. God's word is so powerful because of the authority that he operates in and that he instituted in his creation. All right? Thank God for authority. Why? Authority brings order. Amen? And God puts people into positions, but they're under his framework of authority, and they're designed to carry out his work. So, all things have been created by authority. Amen? It's pretty amazing when you understand the ability to command and things happen. And so God has given to each one of us, everyone who believes in Jesus Christ as Lord, you have authority from heaven. And God delegated his authority to us so that when we say in the name of Jesus, it's as if Jesus is standing there saying what you're saying. So you got to be careful what you say in Jesus' name. Amen? We should never use his name flippantly or jokingly or irreverently, right? When we use the name of Jesus, it's as if Jesus is talking, so we better do it with the utmost respect. Amen? Because there's power in the name of Jesus. You mention Jesus' name and demons start to shake. Their teeth start shattering. Their knees start wobbling. I mean, you can go into a place, a public place, you can talk about Buddha, you can talk about Muhammad, but when you talk about Jesus, people get, whoo, it's like their ears perk up. What'd you say? Huh? There's something about that name. And we have authority in the name of Jesus to access all of heaven's resources. God's authority represents God himself. He is the epitome of authority. And God's power represents his works. God wants you to do some works on this earth, but he gives you power to do those works. In other words, he enables you, he equips you. He makes sure that you have everything you need to do what God's called you to do. Everyone who has a calling, and that includes everybody, you are right now fully equipped to do everything that God wants you to do. You may need wisdom and understanding, but you have all the equipment you need to succeed in what God's called you to do. So we have to understand authority. If you're going to do great things for God, you're going to have to understand authority. Jesus said, I have not seen such great faith in all of Israel. There wasn't a person in Israel that demonstrated understanding of authority like this centurion. That's a pretty amazing compliment, isn't it? But what happened? Because of his understanding of authority, he had a miracle in his life. His servant was healed because of his understanding. He didn't feel worthy that Jesus should come to his house. You know, sometimes people come to church and you don't feel like you deserve what God's offering. Let me tell you something. You do. Because of what Jesus Christ has done, you deserve what God is offering. Amen? And this centurion, he recognized Jesus' willingness. Jesus immediately said, I will come and heal him. I want you to see, there wasn't any doubt of Jesus what he wanted to do. Now this centurion, he sought Jesus out. How many know that when you seek him, you'll find him? Amen? And so this centurion, and we're going to look at Luke 7 in a little bit, and we're going to see some other details that Matthew doesn't include. But he sought Jesus out because, very key, he heard Jesus. He heard of Jesus. What do you think he heard? This man, Jesus, everywhere he goes, people get healed. Everywhere he goes, lives are changed. Everywhere he goes, miracles happen. And even though the Pharisees try to trip him up and try to catch him. They cannot catch him. They cannot make him trip up because he is the truth. And Jesus walked in God's authority. He was a perfect representative of God. Jesus also had authority within himself because he is God. Amen? And as we get more into this series, we're going to learn how to exercise our authority as a believer. Say, I have authority. You know, one thing, you've been authorized to tread on serpents and scorpions. That represents the devil. Because serpents and scorpions have poison in them. And you have authority to walk on the devil. In other words, in Jesus' name, you can tell. If the devil showed up to you at your doorstep and he knocked on your door, you have the authority to say, in the name of Jesus, go. And guess what? He has to obey you. Do you believe that? Why? God's given you authority. As a believer in Christ, as a child of God, you have authority to operate in this earth. Amen? And I came across a book on these lines by Watchman Nee. How many's ever heard of Watchman Nee? And he said some pretty awesome statements, and I want to just share a couple of them with you. The center of the dispute in the whole universe relates to who has authority. Amen? The first one to come against authority was Satan. He wanted to exalt himself above God. He wanted to supersede God's authority. But he wasn't successful. But there's a struggle of authority, you know? And we have to set our hearts to submit to God's authority and to uphold his authority. You know, when you encounter God, it's amazing how the heart and the perspective of life changes. You know, for example, a person before Christ, they could have been hard, mean, rough, but when they encounter God, all of a sudden, their heart softens. I think of a testimony by the name of Mac Gober. He has a ministry in Alabama called Canaan Land, where he ministers to prisoners when they come out of prison. He helps them to get reacclimated into society. Now, Mac Gober was a hard man himself, and I heard him share this testimony. He came to the church we went to in Cleveland, Tennessee. He said that, you know, when he came home from Vietnam, he was kind of a wild guy, and he grew a beard, and he said critters used to live in his beard. And he said one time he would go on these binges, and his friends would have to lock him in a barn for 3 days. That's how wild he got. And he was living in a place, and there was this lady who was witnessing. And she knocked on his door. He answered, and she wanted to share Christ, and he punched her in the face, and the tracks went flying. That's how mean he was. But you know what? God always has the last laugh, because one of those tracks ended up into his apartment. And that night he began to read one of those tracks. He felt compelled, and guess what? He gave his heart to the Lord. And he got connected with this small country church. And so he got so turned on to Jesus that he began witnessing to all of his former friends. But he still looked rough. He still looked like, you know, a kind of a mean dude. And he would call the pastor up at midnight. And he would say, "Pastor, can you open the church? I want to lead someone to the Lord." And the more he kept doing that, finally the pastor said, "I'm going to give you a key." Amen? And so this little country church began to grow. But he still looked kind of rough. You know, how many know sometimes when you get saved, it takes a while to get cleaned up. Amen? So we should never judge the appearance of someone. But what touched his heart was when he was at a grocery store, this lady needed help with her car, and he went to help her, and she had this scared look on his face when he walked over, and he realized that his appearance needed to change. So he then changed his appearance. And If you hear him tell this testimony, he tells it with tears in his eyes. God so changed his heart, so touched his heart. See, when God touches your life, you will have a different view and a different perspective of what authority really is. And so God became the authority in his life. And anyway, he went on to do great things, and now he's serving the Lord in the ministry. But God can do amazing things. God exercises the utmost of his strength to uphold his authority. And there's two things that you need to deal with when it comes to authority. Number one is submission, and number two is obedience. Amen? Guess what? When you invited Jesus to be Lord of your life, guess what? He takes up being Lord of your life. Say, Jesus is Lord, and I'm not. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you gave him the right to tell you where to go, what to do, and what to be. We gave up all of our rights, and we become a bond servant or a bond slave to Jesus Christ. That means now, as a Christian, for every major decision you make, you better get his input. You better allow his Holy Spirit to lead, guide, and direct your life from this point on. He is either Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all. You know, we were singing this morning, I surrender all. Do we? Are there areas in our lives that we haven't surrendered to God? We think we can manage those areas better than he can? When God wants to deal with you in a certain area, you lock the door and you don't let him in. You know, in Revelation 3 it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Jesus will knock until you open the door. Jesus will not knock down the door. And as we grow in Christ, we are always going to encounter other areas to surrender to. Amen? Because as God begins to unfold the layers, we're going to see areas that we didn't allow God to come completely in. In other words, we held back some things from God. We kind of resisted God in that area, whatever it may be. Well, today is your opportunity to change that. Amen? And as we get understanding and revelation about his authority, God will help us to change that. Now let's go to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. And let me just tell you something about authority. When a person in a position of authority is not following God, you're not obligated to follow them. Example, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Nebuchadnezzar was an authority, right? He issued a decree. He said, everybody that hears the music is going to bow to my statue. But there were three that didn't. They disregarded the command because he was not operating according to God's authority at that time. Even though he was in a position of authority, he was using his authority for evil. How about Pharaoh when he said, I want every baby that's 2 years old, every male child to be killed? Midwife said, I'm not doing that. They disregarded Pharaoh's command. But guess what? Because God is into life. Amen? If someone says kill and you said, no, I believe in life, you go with the higher one. You take the high road. So there are times when, even though someone is in a position of authority, they're misusing the authority that God gave them for evil. You don't have to follow evil. You should follow God. How many know that God's not evil? Amen? I don't care what law our government puts on the books. A marriage is between a man and a woman. And no one can say different than what the Bible says. Well, what if you go to jail? Oh, I guess we're going to have a revival in the prison. Amen? But I'm not going to compromise what the Word of God says. because we go to a higher authority. And Romans 7, this is the same story of the centurion, but he has a few little different details. Now, when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. Now, you got to understand, Jesus was teaching. And he entered into this city, okay? And this centurion, because he had people who worked for him, at least 100 employees, all right? He had a prominent position. He knew what was going on in his community, okay? And a certain centurion's servant who was dear to him. The Amplified says he honored him. How many know this centurion honored his servants? He loved his servants. In other words, he didn't think of his servant as a servant, even though he had authority over him, but he used his authority to serve the people. And that's really what, I'm getting ahead of myself there, but we'll learn about that. Notice verse 3. When he had heard of Jesus, what happened when he heard of Jesus? Faith came to his heart. You know, you got to hear Jesus in order for faith to, in order to have faith to believe God. Amen. You can't believe God without hearing what God said. Because faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing the what? The word of God. And Jesus is the word, isn't he? So this centurion, he heard of the word. He heard of Jesus. He sent unto him the elders of the Jews, because he was a man under authority, okay? And he exercised it. Listen, you can't exercise authority unless you're under authority. There's no such thing as a lone wolf in God's kingdom. Matter of fact, a wolf doesn't represent anything good. You know, well, I'm a lone sheep. No, you're not. If you're a sheep, you're part of the flock. And if you're a wolf, you eat sheep. And if you're a wolf, you're going to have to deal with the shepherd. Amen? Beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. He loves our nation. And he has built us a synagogue. Sounds to me like this centurion was pretty cool. He had a heart that was open for the things of God. He loved the Jewish people. He built them a synagogue. This man was operating on limited knowledge, but something changed when he heard of Jesus. The moment he heard God's word, he recognized it as the supreme authority of everything. He recognized that there was power in the word of God. If we all would only recognize that there's power in the word of God, we would speak it more. We wouldn't complain about our situations, we would speak the word over our situations. Amen? Verse 6, then Jesus went with them. How many know that Jesus is willing to answer requests? Amen? Say, God is willing to do things for me. You have to have faith in Jesus' willingness. Some people don't think that they're good enough for God to do something for them. Well, that's the whole point why he sent Jesus. Through Jesus Christ, you become good enough to receive from God. Amen? Now, he was not far from the house. The centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof or enter my house. He knew that there were some things that maybe weren't right yet, but he still understood authority. And wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto you, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. See, when you understand what it means to command, you'll understand when a command is given. Because this centurion was under authority, but he exercised authority. You know, James 4:7 says this, submit to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now let me twist this up a little bit. Resist God, and if you try to resist the devil, he will run to you. The devil will only flee from those who are submitted to God. In other words, a person submitted to God, they recognize God as the authority, and that's how they live their life. They live their life in a vibrant relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, humbling themselves under his authority, and they then only a person who is under authority can exercise authority. An unsubmitted person to God's authority cannot exercise authority over anything. How do I know that? If you read Acts 19, there was a group of ministers called the Sons of Sceva. And the Sons of Sceva encountered a demon-possessed person. And they said, we're going to go cast this devil out. So they went to this man who was possessed, and they said, by the authority of Jesus whom Paul knows. What, don't you have your own relationship with the Lord? And the demon looked at them, and he, I'm sure he had a little chuckle on his face. Paul I know, and Jesus I know, but who are you? See, when you try to operate outside of God's authority, you'll get, the devil will mess you up. Because the devil is a master of rebellion. And the devil is able to recognize a rebellious heart. And he knows that he can work with a rebellious heart because he spawns rebellion. And so the demon-possessed man jumped on these seven guys, stripped them, beat them up bad, and sent them home with the tail between their legs. The devil whooped them. Why? Because they did not have a relationship with the Lord. Therefore, they did not understand authority and how it operates. I command you of the name of Jesus whom Paul knows. You better know him for yourself.
Right. Amen.
When it comes to authority, you better have a revelation. You better have knowledge of what God's authority means for you. Amen? You better know that you're a child of God. You better know the power in the name of Jesus. Because guess what? You're going to have to use the name of Jesus. When Jesus was tempted by the devil, what was Jesus' response? He simply relied on the authority of God's word to shut the devil up. He didn't go into an explanation to say how bad the devil was or what he was doing was wrong. He simply said, it is written. In other words, Jesus himself trusted in the authority that God set up. How many know that there has to be authority in the kingdom? Where does the authority come from? It comes from the king. Without a kingdom, you just have dumb. So if you don't have the king in your life, I'm not going to go there. You figure it out. Okay, verse 8. For I also am a man set under authority. Did the centurion have superiors over him? Absolutely. Every one of us has a superior over us. Whether it's a family member, whether it's a work member, every one of us has an authority to submit to. And how you submit is really an issue of the heart. Well, what if I don't agree? Listen, submission is not agreement. Submission occurs when you disagree. That's really the test to see if someone is truly submitted. Moving on. I am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say, unto one, go. You know, does the centurion have to give a long explanation when he tells a servant to go? No. Because the servant understands, okay, this is the authority. He's the boss. What he says, I'm going to do, as long as it's not against God. Okay? And what does the servant do? He goes, because the servant recognizes authority. And to another, come, and what does he do? He comes. Everybody say, go. Everybody say, come. When you understand authority, you understand those two words. Nelson understood the word to go. God gave him a word, call less. What was his response? Okay. He dialed the number, began talking to him. He probably didn't know why. He just had that impression on his heart at the beginning. God said, go. He went. What happened? Les was blessed. Ministered to. That's how God's kingdom works. If you haven't gone where Jesus said go, why should he tell you anything else? You know, God's a God of order. And you won't get to number four unless you do number three. Now, the quicker you obey and the quicker you do, the quicker you'll get to four. Your obedience and your submission to God's authority will accelerate the process. How many know Israel did not, this wasn't even all in my notes, I'm just going with this. Israel didn't have to be in the wilderness for 40 years. Their disobedience, their rebellion to God's authority caused them to stay in a place longer than they were supposed to be. Some of you are waiting on God, and God's saying, I'm waiting on you. I told you go, and you haven't went. You're still here. You know, when you stay longer in the wilderness than what you should, it can get tough. Don't be in the wilderness longer than you should be. Amen? Turn your 40 years into 40 days. Talk about acceleration. Jesus was only in the wilderness 40 days. Why? Because he was obedient and submissive to God's authority. He did what God wanted him to do. I come to do the will of him who sent me. That's all Jesus did. His ministry was only 3.5 years. Understanding authority. To my servant, do this and what? When he tells the servant, do this, what does the servant do? He does it. Say, I'm a doer. Doesn't the Bible say, be a doer of the word, not a hearer only? God says, go. Okay, Lord, I heard you. Go. Yeah, I heard you, Lord. Go. I heard you. Yeah, don't just recognize that you heard it. Do something with what you heard. If you are heavy laden with burden, you're heavy. You got these, you feel like the weight of the world is on your shoulders. Jesus said, come to me and I'll give you rest. So you can sit there with a burden, you can sit there with that heavy weight, or you can come. I don't know about you, but you know, when I did work out, after lifting weights for a while, you don't want to lift them anymore. But people just want to carry that burden around. Oh, this is my burden. I'm called to bear this burden. But the Bible said, Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So if your burden is heavy, then you got to switch the load. That load was not designed for you. Jesus said himself, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. So what are you going around talking about a heavy burden for? You better figure out if you're supposed to even be carrying that burden. You might have the wrong load. You might be carrying someone else's things. Verse 9. When Jesus heard these things, what things did Jesus hear? He heard authority. He heard an understanding of authority. He heard someone who practiced authority. He heard someone who abided in authority. When Jesus heard these things, you know, Jesus is just waiting for you to tell him what he said. He's waiting up in heaven for you to say what the word says so that God can do it. He's waiting up there to hear his word so that he can perform it. Why do you think God gave us his word? If you speak unto this mountain, it shall be what? He didn't say talk about the mountain. He said speak to the mountain. There's a difference. A lot of people talk about the mountain. They describe it. How big it is and how marvelous it is. No, talk to the mountain. Say, mountain, you're in my way. You need to go. Don't talk about it. Talk to it. Because faith is really released in how we say, how we talk, how we speak. That is the primary way that faith is released in the kingdom of God. How do we know that? God created the world through what? God could have created the world any way he wanted to, but he chose to do it through speaking. He did that, and Jesus cursed the fig tree to demonstrate faith to his disciples. Can you believe Jesus? He's talking to that tree. I think he's been out into the hot sun too long. But he did that to teach him a lesson. He marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in all Israel. And it was simply his understanding of authority. Okay? So when you understand authority, that is the key to having great faith. And to understand authority, you've got to submit to authority. Well, I don't like the authority. Doesn't matter. How many know Jesus asks us to do things we don't like? And really, it's the flesh that doesn't like it, not the spirit. Our flesh likes to do things that our spirit doesn't like to do. And we really control which nature has greater strength in our life. Here are some principles of authority that I want you to understand. Okay? When one understands the principles of authority, then it is easy to understand and operate in the elements of faith. Okay, we talked about that. Authority and faith are partners that work together to achieve success and walk in victory in the earth. You know, how many has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? Well, we're not in heaven yet, are we? So, once we've accepted Christ, that's not the end. Now you got to live for him. Now you got to die daily. Every day you got to send your flesh a funeral. Crucify the flesh. Why? Because our flesh is unregenerate. Our spirits, the inner man, the hidden man of the heart, they've been born again, right? When you got born again, did your hair color change? Did your eye colors change? Did your shape change? What changed? Something on the inside, the real you, all right? Your house didn't change, but the person inside the house changed. And the person inside the house now can do a restoration on the outside of the house. Something on the inside working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. But now we've got to live for God. And in order to live for God, we've got to operate in his authority. And we've got to know what God's will is for our life. That's why I feel our confession is so strong for this time, for this moment. People need to know what God's will is. You can know it. It's not a mystery. And the quicker you find it out, the happier you'll be. Go with, here's some other principles. Authority is to serve others and establish order. The primary purpose of authority is to serve others. And to establish order. If we didn't have a government with laws, what would we have? Anarchy. Everyone for themselves. Listen, governments are necessary to establish order. Why? Because in this world, there's lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. There are people who live in this earth that are in sin. They're doing the devil's work. And we need laws. So thank God for the laws. We ought to respect the laws of our land as long as they agree with God. You have to draw a line somewhere. The birth of Jesus marked the beginning of the restoration of man's authority. Isaiah said, "The government shall be upon his shoulders. He's our mighty God, our counselor." Amen? Through his death and resurrection, Jesus obtained the keys of death, hell, and the grave, achieving authority in three worlds: in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. Jesus has authority in heaven, he has authority on earth, and he has authority under the earth. And God's authority is worked by those who submit to his authority. Jesus set up a spiritual kingdom. Anything that begins in the spirit realm will be manifested in the physical realm. And then finally, we exercise authority through receiving God's word, carrying it out, and declaring it. In order to exercise authority, you've got to receive God's word, you've got to carry it, you've got to live it out, you've got to practice it, and then you've got to declare it, right? You've got to use your voice to enforce what God said. God's word is a binding contract. And Jesus told his disciples, he said, whatever you bind on earth is what? Bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is what? Loosed in heaven. When you operate under God's authority, heaven will back you up. Jesus did that. Woman had a spirit of infirmity, right? And Jesus walked in, he saw her because she couldn't stand up straight. And Jesus said, don't you know that you're a daughter of Abraham? How many know as a child of God, you have rights and privileges in God's kingdom? Everything that Jesus received, you get to have because you are joint heirs with him. Right? And Jesus said, this woman needs to be loose from this infirmity. He said, woman, you are loose. What happened? Heaven backed him up and caused that spirit of infirmity that had her bound to leave her body. And what? For the first time in 18 years, she stood up straight. If cancer tries to enter your body, it's trying to do it without authority. You need to take your authority in the name of Jesus. You need to tell that cancer to leave my body. If sickness tries to come into your body, you need to take heaven's authority. You need to use the name of Jesus and speak to that sickness. Say, no sickness, you are not coming in here. And yes, you might experience symptoms. Yes, you may experience pain, but who has the authority over it? You can exercise authority. When someone is lost, they're wandering, they don't know their way, you can exercise your authority and say, let me point you to Jesus. And guess what? By the authority in Jesus' name, you can bring them into the family of God through Jesus. That's the authority that we have. God has entrusted his authority to us. Let me just give you a few examples. Just put these scriptures up on the screen. Daniel 4:17. I just want to spend some time encouraging you about Jesus' authority. Daniel 4:17. This matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand of by the word of the holy ones to the intent that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men. Say the Most High. Listen, you can't get any higher. He is the Most High. What does he do? He rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomsoever he will. Anyone who believes in me, you have access to the kingdom. Anyone who puts their faith in Jesus, you can do what he did on this earth. You can live how he lived on this earth. And he sets up over, go to verses 34 and 35. This is when Nebuchadnezzar regained his understanding. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven. My understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High. Before, he went against the Most High. But he had a little time in the field to eat grass. And he came back with a different perspective. And he started to bless the Most High. And I praised and honored him that lives forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom from generation to generation. There is no end to God's rule. Matter of fact, when Jesus returns, all authority is going to go back to him. Now, he has authority, but what I'm saying is, when he comes back, everyone in authority, it all gets through Jesus Christ. How many know when he comes back, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess what? That he is Lord. Amen? So all authority is going to come back. Everyone who resisted God's will when Jesus comes back is going to have an eye-opening experience. He's got so much authority that when he speaks, the Bible says the dead hear his voice. Hallelujah. The dead hear the voice of our God. Why? Because he's got authority. And because he has authority, you do too. Let's operate in his authority. Amen? Go to Acts 1:7. The one true history maker is God. He makes history. Amen? What's history? History is all about his story. History, his story. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. How many know? He has authority to supersede time. Times and seasons are in the Father's authority. All right? Go to chapter 17. Chapter 17, verses 24. I mean, Jeffrey's doing a great job, amen? God that made the world, and how many things? He made the world and all things in it, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwells not in temples made with hands. This is when Paul, he was in Greece and he saw to the tomb of the unknown God. And he was now explaining to them, next verse, 25, he was explaining to them that the God is not unknown, but he's a real person. He's not worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he gives to all life and breath all things. Next verse, 26, and has made of one blood all nations of men to dwell on all the face of the earth. Guess what? We are all of one blood. Amen? And God made us that way. So you better learn to get along with everybody. Seek peace as much as we can do it, right? And he has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Only God can tell the water, you're only going to come up to this point and you can't go any further. Only God can put the stars in heaven and put them in place and cause them to shine. Only God could bring forth you to this earth. You are God's creation. God created you on purpose with a purpose, for his purpose. Amen? Next verse. That they should seek the Lord. Listen, we need to seek God. If you respect his authority, then you need to be a seeker of him. That they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from us. Next verse. For in him we live and move and have our being. That's a person who understands authority. In him I live. It's not me who lives. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives within me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith in the Son of God. Amen? And I move in him. God tells me where to go. He tells me where to be. He tells me when to do it. Amen? I live and move in him. And I have my very being. I have my existence in God. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be here today. Because I can do nothing of myself. Because God has the supreme authority over all. Next verse. For as much then as we are the offspring of God. See, I'm the offspring of God. We ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art or man's device. Next verse. and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. The way to get under back under authority is to repent. When a person repents, they realize that the direction that they've been going is not the right direction. And they change directions and they go back to where they came from. Amen? We all came from God, and when a person repents, you change your course and you go back to God. Amen? Go with me to the book of Colossians. Book of Colossians. Hallelujah. I'm giving you these scriptures because it resounds with God's authority. And you know, if you're traveling down the road and the road that you're on has a sign that says the bridge is out, are you going to keep going down that road? What are you going to do? You're going to turn around. Maybe you're going to ask for directions. Maybe you'll put your GPS for an alternative route. Amen? There is a way that seems right to man, the Bible says, but in the end it leads to death. Sin is fun for a season. But that season ends, doesn't it? And when the season ends, you're left in the middle of destruction, and you're like, how did I get here? But Jesus is the way out. Colossians chapter 1. Let's go to verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to partake, to be partakers of the inheritance. Say, I'm a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light. You have an inheritance. And God made you a partaker. In other words, it is because of Jesus Christ you can share in this inheritance. And your relationship with Jesus Christ puts you right there with this inheritance. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness. Can you say amen? Amen. Light is better than darkness. He has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Right now, everyone who believes in Jesus Christ as Lord and who has accepted, you are in the kingdom of God. When Jesus said, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. It's right here. Amen? In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God. Hallelujah. If you've seen Jesus, you've seen God. If you accept Jesus, you've accepted God. He's the firstborn of every creature. He was the first one to raise from the dead. And everyone else after him, you pass from death to life. For by him, all things created. That are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. But that doesn't mean that all things believe him. Because the devil rejected him. So did a third of the devil's angels, who are now demons. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. God cannot fail, because if he did, everything else would cease to exist. This earth would stop rotating. We would all be destroyed if God wasn't before all things. By him all things consist. That's why we need to abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. And he is the head of the body. Listen, head represents authority. Jesus is the authority of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. We are part of the body. Amen? Every one of us has a function, has a place. Fingers, hands, arms, feet, eyes, ears, they all function. They're all in the right place. And when we come in line with God's authority, we'll get in the right place. Can you say amen? He's the head of the body, the church. The church is the body of Christ. Amen? And how many know he loves his body? Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence or the first place? Does he have the first place in your life? Is he the first one you turn to when you face trouble? Is he the first person you call on when you have a need? He has to have the preeminence in your life. Jesus earned that right by living a perfect life, dying and rising from the dead. Amen? He doesn't have to prove who he is. He already did. He is who he is. Amen? Go to chapter 2, and I'm going to close here. Chapter 2 and verse 10. Well, we better back up a little bit. And verse 9. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That is one awesome package. Say, Jesus has it all. And you are complete in him. What makes you complete? Finding the right spouse? Does that make you complete? No. Finding the right job? Does that make you complete? No. Finding the right resources? Does that make you complete? No. You are complete in him. Nothing else in this world can compare to Jesus Christ. You could gain the whole world. You could have a fence around it. You could put your name on it. But if you lose your soul, you've gained absolutely nothing. Because a soul is worth more than the world. Say, I'm complete in him. People are looking for the wrong thing to complete them. Jesus completes you. He is the head of all principality and power. That means if the devil is a principality, if he messes with you, you can go to the head. You can say in the name of Jesus, and you can mess with him. You have authority over the devil. In whom also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him. Say, I'm risen with him. Do you see that the benefits that he got, you get? Whatever happened to Jesus can happen to you. But you receive it by faith. It doesn't happen automatically. You've got to believe. You've got to do your part. And you being dead in sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. All your trespasses at this very moment are forgiven. All your sins are wiped away. You stand complete in Christ. When God looks at you through Jesus Christ, he sees his son. He sees you forgiven. He sees you in a position with him. He sees you seated with Christ in heavenly places. Someone needs to praise him in this place. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances. Our God is not a legalist, because there's freedom. Now, he wants you to obey his commands, but he doesn't force you to. If you don't want to be in Christ, you don't have to be. If you don't want to live for Christ, you don't have to. God gives you your choice. He sets before every person life or death. The blessing or the curse. God uses his authority, and by his authority, he's given man a choice. If you don't want to go to church, you don't have to. But I guarantee you that if you don't, you won't grow. If you don't go to church, there'll be a lot of things that you don't know about God. Can you imagine going to a doctor that never went to medical school? Can you imagine learning the ABCs by someone who can't even read? Huh? Can you imagine having someone defend you in court that's never been approved by the board. But yet people think that, well, I can skip church and it's going to be okay. Well, then you might go to a doctor that doesn't have a license. If you want to learn about God, what's the best place to do it? A place that teaches about him, right? What, you know, granted, there is no perfect church on this earth. You can visit every church of every state, of every country. You're not going to find a perfect one. You'll always find flaws because humans are involved. But God still commissioned the church to carry his message. Amen? You know, not every CEO is honest, right? But that doesn't make the whole company bad. They still might make a good product. Finally, verse 15. This is our celebration moment. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Jesus spoiled the devil's plans. He spoiled the devil's party. The devil thought he won when he nailed Jesus to the cross, but God had a second plan. God had a plan. He said, I'm coming out of the grave. And if the devil knew that Jesus was coming out of the grave, he said, I would have never crucified him. He caught the devil by surprise, and when Jesus rose, he socked the devil in the face, and he knocked him out with a 1-2 punch. He spoiled the principalities and the powers. He took the authority of the devil. He took his authority over hell. He took his authority over death. And Jesus now holds the keys because he's the champion. And he wants to give the victory to you. He wants you to have the victory in this life just like he gained it. I'm a little excited. And I now try to hide it. Amen? So we have a choice. Whose authority are you going to do things by? When you make a decision in life, can you without a doubt say, God is behind this decision? Or do you make decisions based on you? God wants us to submit to his authority. Amen? Jesus has authority over every sin, over every sickness, over every devil and demon in the spirit, in the kingdom of darkness. Jesus has authority over him. The devil cannot possess someone when Jesus says, go. If a demon has someone in control, and Jesus says go, that demon has to go. It has to lose its grip on that person's life. Just like the man from Gadara. He came to Jesus, and Jesus said go, and those demons, all of them left him because he has the authority and the power. God wants to work his authority in your life. Amen? You can change things by exercising your authority in Jesus Christ. Amen? If you're sick today, we have authority over sickness. I want to pray for you today. Amen? If you're hurting in your body, if you're sick in your body, if you need to know the Lord, you can meet him today. Amen? Because he loves you. He wants to reveal his plan to you. Why don't we have a little talk with Jesus? Come and tell him of your troubles. Because he's got the solutions. He's got the answers. Amen? So if there's a need that you have in your life, I want you to come today and I want to pray for you. Amen? I believe that there's authority in this atmosphere. God has there's an authority in this atmosphere for change. Amen? If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, you're in the right place today. Instead of being sick and tired, you can get healed and fired up. Amen? So if that's you, I want you to come today. And maybe, you know, there's a second element to being saved. It's being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. It's an experience that believers can have subsequent to salvation. You know, the only requirement for me being filled with the Holy Spirit is being born again. Amen? And if you're born again, you can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is really power to witness. And if you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, come. Amen? We're going to stoke the fires. Amen? Hallelujah. If you can play a song, hallelujah. Hallelujah. What you need God to do.